Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We receive the blessing. We receive blessing without measure. Fullness of blessing. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight in our closing session concerning receiving through the ministry of Jesus. In each of these areas, we've talked about the high priestly ministry of Jesus. We've talked about the lordship ministry of Jesus. And tonight we're going to be talking about, last night we talked very at length about the lordship ministry of Jesus. And let me remind you again the difference between Jesus as Lord and Jesus high priest. Jesus is Lord over the law of sin and death. He is Lord because he personally defeated Satan. He defeated sin. He bore it. He took it, praise God, and he totally, completely defeated it. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy and said, Jesus abolished death. We've been reading the scripture where it said he took upon himself flesh and blood so that through death he might destroy, completely incapacitate him that had the authority over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. Now, that's Lord. The high priestly ministry, this is vitally important that we learn and develop in the area of being very, very aware and you know, so that you don't just use religious cliches and all that kind of stuff. Being very aware that he is Lord over sickness. He is high priest over healing. So the healing ministry is part of the blessing of Abraham. The lordship ministry is part of the blessing of Abraham. But they function under two totally different anointings. And so it's important that you and I know the difference. So we don't get it all crossed up and, you know, get to crying out, oh, Jesus, don't you know how sick I am? Oh, Jesus, how long is it going to take for you to heal me? Well, what you're standing there doing, you're not partaking of either one of those ministries. You're trying to pressure him into doing something that's out of line with what he's anointed to do. Here you're saying you're sick. You're saying you're hurting. You're saying, and you're saying to him, you're not doing anything about it. Oh my goodness. You get spiritual law so balled up with that you get into a place where you're not receiving at all. And the devil's got you set up now. He can tell you, well, see, God don't want you. It's not his will for you to receive just now. Well, see, that's a lie from hell. But if he can get you to put up with it, or if he can get you to just let him alone, and you're not aware of the fact that it's not the fact that God is holding back on you or holding out on you for some strange reason about increasing your piety or whatever that is. No, you're not receiving what's available. It's a very simple thing. You do it all the time in the natural world, but we've been church trained to think a different way in the realm of the spirit. In the natural world, you'd never think of, you turn on your radio and there's not anything there. You don't go call the radio station and tell them there's something wrong with their station. It's not broadcasting. No, you check the batteries in the radio. Amen? Your battery's dead. Either that or the radio's broke or it's off-tuned. Now, let me remind you of something else. This room is full of voices. It is. There are a myriad of voices in here. There's satellite voices. There's television voices. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's the air in here is full of Morse code. It's just full of all kinds of di-di-di-di. I mean, it's just going on all over the place. Do you hear any of it? No. Why? Well, they just don't talk to me. I don't ever hear nothing like that. I don't understand it. I don't ever hear anything. Well, turn the radio on. Huh? Oh. No, that's the way we've been spiritually. Yeah, I turned it on, though, and all that radio talks is Spanish. I can't understand any of that. Well, change station, you. Amen. Well, see, that sounds foolish, but it is foolish when you apply it to spiritual things. And this is the reason why we need to be very aware of these ministries. Now, let's get into this area of his ministry, receiving through his ministry and living through him. Now, I want to comment again on living through him. The word says that we cry, Abba, Father. Literally translated, I have a father. He is a daddy to me. Amen. Now, what if a person was born into the world and neither of the parents care anything about this child? Somebody just found this baby, and nobody even knows who the mother or the daddy was, and nobody wants this kid. And they picked him up and took him to the hospital and cleaned him up. This kid has no inheritance. He has no heritage. He has no name. Nobody even knows who he is. He's got nothing. But then a loving, wealthy Christian couple found out about him. Oh, they said, that's our boy. That's our baby. Oh, let's go get the baby. Amen. And they get away. Yeah, he even looked like me. Look at that baby. That's my baby. That's my boy. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody will fall in love with this child. And they adopt this baby and they sign the papers. And now he's got not only a name, he has a heritage, he has a fortune, he has a future. What's he doing? He's living now through his new parents. He's living through them now. See? And as long as he'll pay attention and as long as he will receive what they do for him, as long as he'll walk in it, it's his. Now, he may get up there 16, 17 years old, you know, and get smarter than his mom and daddy. I want to find my biological mama. Why? What's that going to do for you? Well, I mean, you know, they ain't really my mom and daddy. I don't have to do nothing they say. Well, you just cut yourself off. You don't have any future anymore. Amen. That's the way people do God. Amen. I asked the Lord one time, I said, you know, I tell you, I want to hurt the devil. Now, if he was flesh and blood, I'd spank him good. I know what to do with him if I could get my hands on him. But I, now, and I know your name and all that. And I know all that. But Lord, I said, I sure would like to hurt him some more. Just tell me what I'm going to do. I'd inflict some pain on this sorry thing. The Lord said, won't you do him like you do me? I said, what? He said, don't do nothing he tells you to do. And I want you to know that dug a hole in me. I said, oh, God. Oh, forgive me. I'll never. God is my helper. I'll never cause you that kind of pain again. Nope, you're right 100% of the time. I will change my lifestyle to fit your word. I will not try to change your word to fit my lifestyle. Now, right here is where we are tonight. Let's take us a look here at, let's go over the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. We are living through Him. Genesis 26. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him. See, he didn't have a book. The covenant had not been written down. Now it had been taught, because the Bible said God chose Abraham because he teaches children. He made the same covenant with Noah. He said the same thing to Noah that he said to Adam: be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, have dominion over, subdue it. Said the very same thing. Well, certainly he said the same thing. That was his perfect will for all men for all time. It was the first thing he ever said to a human being: be fruitful, multiply. Well, I mean, he said that before sin ever happened. That had to be. If Adam hadn't fallen, that had been the whole Bible right there. He didn't need to say anything else. That would have filled his whole universe if they just kept walking in it, kept walking in it. The boundary line of the Garden of Eden is well known. I mean, it's written right here in the Bible. It's the area that we now know as Iraq. That garden had boundaries, the rivers and borders and so forth. And he said, fill it up. Fill up the earth. Be fruitful. He said he blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth. With what? With this garden. That's your job. Subdue it, have dominion over it, and everything that's alive in it. Now, the blessing then, the force in it, the glory of God in it, was on this man and in this man. He was walking in the full spiritual spectrum. I mean, 100% of it. He could see beyond that light and timeline. He could see things. And all of a sudden, after he sinned, he couldn't see them anymore. And it says his eyes were opened. Opened unto what? Opened unto what was covered up before. It was there all the time, but he was seeing the glory. That's the reason he'd never seen his body. He'd never seen his wife's body. He saw the glory. They were clothed like God with this gorgeous, marvelous fire. All of the colors that exist. We only see about 3% of the colors. Can you imagine 97% more of colors and glory and dancing and just absolutely just phenomenal. Glorified. And that was coming out of her. It was coming out of him. And everything around them was so marvelous and just so gloriously lit by the glory that shines in the face of Jesus. But when they sinned and that light went out, actually, I want you to listen to me carefully now. Actually, at that point, it was still there. He couldn't see it. He went 97% blind. All he could see was this natural physical world. And like Creflo, he said, "Ah, you naked! How come you naked? I went, I'm naked too!" He'd never seen that. He'd never seen the earth. It looked beautiful to us. I mean, it looked like a back alley to him after what he'd been seeing. Because he was seeing heaven and earth and this whole thing, man. I mean, it looked just like heaven. Heaven looked just like this. And he's seeing it all. He could see the Father. And then he heard his voice in the garden and he couldn't see him. Frightened him. He didn't know what fear was. Faith cometh by hearing. Fear runs by hearing the voice of God. And he ran off and he hid himself. Tried to cover himself up. I guess he thought he didn't know whether God had ever seen him or not like that. He's frightened. Scared. Now, as Satan took over, the glory departed. And when that happened, this was a sorry, lousy place to live under his dominion. Now, I'm telling you all of this so you can realize God's word never changed. He never changed. That's still his will today, just as much as it was then. He's never changed. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and fill up the earth with what? With his glory. What was it when he said light be and light was? There wasn't any sunshine until the fourth day. I mean, what was it? What light was he talking about? The light of his glory. Amen. The very essence of himself was released, and that it became the bag in which this universe was placed, and everything inside that bag had at its core life the light of his glory. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Same in the beginning with God. And nothing created that was not created by Him, by His Word. Well, we find in 1 John, the first chapter, that God is light. And he wasn't talking about illumination. Illumination is a product of light. We're talking about light energy. This universe is held together by it. Science now knows that. Amen. Every molecule of your body, the movement in the little protons and the neutrons and the and whatever kind of trons there are in there moving around in every cell of your body, all the molecules of anything that's natural, anything you can see, feel, touch, hear, taste, or smell, all of the movement. That's all moving all the time. It's moving all the time. What's keeping them moving? Light energy. It is the ultimate power of all matter. It is so awesome in its, the way we judge power. However, in a time of extended prayer one day, this was after several days of prayer, and the Lord just said something that just blessed me. I wasn't expecting to hear this. He said, what is the greatest manifestation of my power that human beings have ever seen? Oh, I said, it's when you said, let there be light, or light be and light was. Oh, nah, he said, there wasn't a whole lot to that. Wasn't a whole lot to that. What you mean there wasn't a whole lot to that? My goodness sake. Whoa, I mean, a universe that just exploded into existence at the speed of light. Amen. I said, well, what? Well, he said, in the first place, there wasn't anybody against me. I had no resistance. And he said that whole thing was just natural material substance. Can you imagine that? This universe looks like a small thing to God. Well, yeah, he just decided to have a family and he built on. Amen. That's what this is. This whole universe. It's still expanding at speed of light. And to him, it's still a little thing. Then when he said that, I began to catch on. And I said, okay, then, what was the most powerful expression of your creative power ever? He said, when I raised Jesus from the dead. He said that was in the spirit. And all of hell and all of men were against me and arrayed against me. And he said, I used the word of life, the Zoe, the light, all of those things, yeah. But he said it went far greater than that. And he said, equal to that was when you got born again. Amen? Equal to that was when you got born again. The same measure that he used when he raised him from the dead was used on your spirit when you got born again. I mean the same measure. You are not a sub-heir. You are a joint heir. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, that was Jesus. Well, so what? Amen. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Religion has downplayed us when actually the scripture plays our redemption up. That's what he came here to do. His high priestly ministry is for the reconciliation of the sins of the people. Now let me give you something that I don't ever want you to say anymore. Don't ever fall into this trap again. You go before the Lord, or if Satan comes at you and starts bringing up some sin of your past or something, and you've already confessed that thing, and you received your forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness, don't you stand up there and say, no, sir, Mr. Devil, that sin's under the blood. It is not. It's gone. It ain't under anything. It does not exist anywhere, heaven or earth. That sin doesn't exist. Amen. Now I'm going to give you something here. You listen to me? Listen to me carefully. A number of years ago, Gloria and I found out about the little city of Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and we went up there skiing one winter and really liked it. And so next winter we went back. And there's a real neat hotel there, still there. And it just backs up next to the ski mountain. You can store your skis and your boots downstairs. And you can go down from your hotel room and you go in there and just put your skis on, your boots on, ski out the back door. I mean, it's just nice. And when we first went there, I wasn't skiing out the back door. I was falling out the back door. But anyway, I liked going out the back door. Amen. And we just loved it. Well, one of my partners up there saw us. And he caught me in the hotel, and he shook my hand. He said, Kenan, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to buy some property up here. He said, there is a real estate problem in this area right now, and property's the lowest it's ever been. I said, what do I want with a property up here? This is a nice hotel, man. And I went through the whole back door thing with him. Well, we went back next year. He caught me next year. He said, have you prayed about this? I said, no. He said, it's lower this year than it was last year. I said, I don't want any property up here. Went back the next year. He said, Copeland. Now he said, I believe God is after me where this is concerned. Will you pray about it? I said, well, all right, Sam, I will. I mean, since you asked me to and you're my partner, I'll pray about it. And I figured I'd just say, Lord, you know, I told Sam I'd pray about this. And I'll pray about it, and that'll be the end of it. I went to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, I've been trying to get your attention for 3 years on this. Uh-oh. I said, what's going on? He said, there's a spirit of poverty in this valley. And he said, the devil's trying to set up his headquarters here. And I am assigning you and commissioning you and Gloria to be the keepers of this valley. And I want you to drive that poverty out of here. I want to move in this valley. And I want you to buy some property here. And you be the keeper of the valley. Okay. So we got to looking. And we bought this little home. Well, it's set right up on the side of the mountain there. I mean to tell you, we went over there to look at that place, and they had a big picture window in the living room. And I walked in that little, this is just a little small place. I walked in that living room, and there, that big picture window, the mountain, the ski mountain was across the highway over there, and it framed it. It looked like this huge painting of that ski mountain. How did it? Took my breath away, and I said, Gloria, go ahead and look at the rest of the house, but I'm going to buy that window. I done found what I want. Now you look at the rest of the place. Well, we bought the place. God blessed us. We had that place 16 years, and it turned around in that valley. And I mean to tell you, God moved in that place, and things were happening. And today, it's one of the most prosperous places. We called up there the other day. We thought, well, we might just, you know, go up there and look around a little bit. All this talk about property going down, not in Steamboat. It ain't. It's still going up there. And I thought, well, certainly, amen. That poverty devil took a whipping, amen. So, we kept that place 16 years. And the word of the Lord came to Glory and me both one day and said, it's time to sell that piece of property. I said, okay, you're the reason I bought it, you're the reason I'll sell it. Amen. Just got a whole bunch of money for it. Whew. I said, do you miss it? Yeah, only thing I got left is a lot of money. But I do miss it. And I can tell you right now, I can just see that road, cross the river, cross that bridge, put a new bridge in there, by the way. Nice bridge. Well, cross the road, stop there at the stop sign. Then you go through the stop sign, and in the next corner up there, you turn to the right. And you go up the hill like this, and it starts winding up the side of the mountain. And there's several, there's that big two-story house, looked like almost got the garage on top of the house, but it's a pretty decent looking house. And then here's this one, and then that's the new house over there that the so-and-so built. And you come on around, and then there's my satellite dish right there. And you turn in the driveway. We paved that driveway, by the way. And all those flowers out there. Ain't no armadillos up there either. Praise God. I mean, now the bear's liable to get in there and squash your flowers, but we let them alone. They ain't like armadillos. So, and you come down that driveway. You turn in there, and the driveway winds around like this. And then it goes this, and there's the house right there. And the garage right here. We built that garage. Praise the Lord. Amen. My motorcycle's right inside that garage right there. Amen. And you come out, and you go in the front door. There's a little mud room and all that. And you come in. There's a little living room. And Rachel can see it. Rachel got so mad at me, and I sold that house. She said, I get old enough, I'm going up there and buy it back. And so you can just see it, can't you? You come in there, and you go in here, and there's the kitchen and the dining room and all in one. And the go down the stairs, and there's a couple of little small bedrooms and the laundry room down there. And then you go upstairs, and there's Gloria in my bedroom up there on the top floor. There's a guy bought that house and bulldozed the whole thing. It is gone. Window and all. He smoothed it off and built. Something else. The only place that house exists is right here. Don't you let that sin exist in your mind. It isn't under the blood. It has been reconciled. It has been wiped out. Your heavenly Father has blotted out your transgressions for His sake. Now He says, you put me in remembrance. He is offering you a blank memory for you to fill up with what you want Him to remember about you. Now the word of the Lord came to me and told me to tell you that tonight. Amen. Now, God appeared unto him and said, look at verse 3, sojourn in the land and I will be with you and I will bless you, for unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. I will perform. Say it. I will perform. He didn't say, well, now sometimes I perform and sometimes I don't. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, he said, I will perform what I told your father. I will perform it. Now then, I want you to turn to, turn to Jeremiah. Oh, Lord, I wish I could do all this at one time. But okay. Turn to Jeremiah. And let's look at the first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. The Lord said unto me, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. One translation said, I am quick to perform my word. Another one said, God watches over his word to perform it. So he hadn't changed a bit, has he? But what does it say he performs? It says, God performs his word. He watches over his word to perform it. Now let's go to the Gospel of Mark. Last chapter of Mark's Gospel, 16th chapter. Matthew, Mark, look at John. That's what Kelly used to say, and she's about 4 years old.
Matthew, Mark, look at John.
Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus appeared. Now that sounds like what we just read, doesn't it? Said God appeared to Isaac. Well, now why is Jesus suddenly appearing to somebody? Well, he doesn't have a New Testament written yet. Amen. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat or at a meal, and he upbraided them. He got on them. He corrected them. When we read this, you know, nice and sweetly, but that ain't the way he said it. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They cast out devils. They speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, they'll not hurt them. They lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now you notice, look at the word them, T-H-E-M, the Lord working with them. You notice it's in italics. It doesn't belong there. Put your little dash line there or circle it or something. Now listen to this. They went forth. They preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming. Let's say it like this so it'll get a hold of our thing. The Lord working with and performing the word. What was he working with? The word. Amen. That's the reason he had to upbraid them. He didn't have anything to work with. Long as they are sitting in that back room licking their chops and feeling sorry for themselves and afraid to get outside, he did not have anything to work with. Now, the way the church would like to have read that is, God appeared to them and said, I'm going into all the world and I'm going to preach the gospel to every creature and I'm going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover and I'm going to cast out the devil and I'd like you boys to go with me. That ain't what he said. Why? He didn't have any right to do that. He performs the oath. He performs the word. What word? Well, when he was here in the flesh, he performed God's word to Abraham. But now, he's gone. He's here now in our flesh. And we are the voice of his word.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. So he said, you go into all the world, you preach the gospel to every creature, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, you cast out the devil, and I'll go with you. I will perform my word. Now that is his ministry. Go over there with me now to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. When you spend time, before I say that, let me give you this. This will not only answer some things for you, it'll really get down on the inside of you, particularly if you take advantage of it. Somebody could walk up to you and say, I'm president of such and such and such and such. I am taking over all of your financial responsibilities. I have put $5 million into your bank account, and I've already paid off all of your debts. You have no debts. You have $5 million. And when you spend that up, I'll put $5 million more. We have elected you onto our board of directors. And so forth, and so on, and so on. I'm telling you, you'd have goosebumps climbing on top of goosebumps. Your hair would be standing straight up. If you didn't have any hair, you'd grow some. I mean, it would absolutely shock your whole system if somebody came up and said something like that. You wouldn't be able to wait. You'd be calling, you'd be screaming and hollering. You call all your kinfolk. Well, maybe all of them. Amen. They're going to find it out anyway. You might as well let them know. Amen. Now, you pick up your Bible Amen. And you read in there, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. The blessing of Abraham is yours. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, far beyond anything you could ask or think. And you just read through that and just ho-hum your way right through it. And your hair didn't do anything, and you didn't call anybody, and you just said, well, you know, like some fellow said, oh, well, praise God, I'll put it on my Sears bill as far as it'll go, and go on to work. What's the difference? Why is one of them so startling and so exciting, and the other one just doesn't do much to you? What's the difference? The difference lies in the spiritual versus the carnal natural realm. A carnal natural promise from a natural source. Now, carnal is not really a bad word, unless it's trying to get over into the spiritual area. If you're trying to answer spiritual questions with carnal answers, then it's bad. But the natural belongs to the natural, and the spirit belongs to the spirit. But if they're both working right in their proper places, both of them have a role to play, and both one enhances the other. But when they're messed up, when they're mixed up, of course, the carnal side of it will get in the way of the blessing. Now, when you receive a natural promise from a natural source, your natural mind can get hold of that, and it just does backflips. And so you get excited. The natural part of you gets excited. You get excited in your mind. You'll get excited. Your will gets all up in the air. But now, on the other hand, here you've got a promise that comes in the Spirit, backed by the Spirit himself, in the name of Jesus. Now, he has said, I will perform my word. I watch over my word to perform it. I will perform the oath that God spoke to your father Abraham. Well, isn't he your father? Isn't Abraham your father of faith? Aren't you Abraham's seed? Yes, he'll perform it to you.
Sure he will. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
But now you begin to meditate on that. You begin to spend time. You get in here and you say, I'm going to develop my faith in the written word and the integrity of this word. Thank you for it, Father. And then you begin to search, and you begin to look. And I'll tell you, when Gloria was preaching this morning, I just locked in on what she was saying. There are certain needs in my physical body. And well, in the first place, I preached myself plumb empty. I needed to be refilled. I needed to feed my spirit on what she was saying. Amen. And I needed strength. So we keep a concordance back there on the table. I grabbed that Young's concordance, looked up the word strength, and I'm listening to her preach. And while she was hunting those scriptures this morning, I was digging in there on strength scriptures just as fast as I could write them down. She'd start preaching, I'd listen to her. She'd stop, I'd look on for some more strength scriptures. And I finally got 17, 18 of them written down. What am I doing? I'm feeding my spirit. I'm feeding my spirit. He's going to perform strength words to me. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't mind telling you, when I got out of bed this morning, oh, man, and my flesh is saying, why don't you just stay in the big glory and handle that at you? No. Drug out of bed. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Today is my receiving day. I love the Lord my God, and I thank you, you are my sustaining strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy, joy, joy. Well, joy doesn't come from feeling. Joy doesn't come from happiness. Joy is fruit of the Spirit. You stir it up by faith. Amen. So, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. The Word says that. So I'm strengthened. Glory to God. Well, feeling fine. I'm just tired. And came on over. I'm sitting down back there. I'm feeding on one that Glory is preaching. And I'm feeding on those strength words. Feeding my spirit. Feeding my spirit. I wasn't preparing to preach. I used to do that all the time. And I was strong to preach. But I wasn't feeding my spirit where healing and my natural body was concerned. And I got way behind on that. And my body started breaking down and I had to catch up. Amen. Well, I was back there this morning. By the time those testimonies got done, I want you to know I was roaring and ready to go. Praise God. And got out of here and got to lay hands on a bunch of people and just had such a big time. And I left and I said, that's the most amazing thing that you can go do all of that and leave the auditorium stronger than when you got there. I tell you, what happened? Well, you feed your spirit and you stir your spirit up, you stir your faith up. But you have to do it on purpose. You have to say, I believe that now. Now, develop your faith in the Word. See, this is, I've said this before, I'm going to say it to you again. This book is not about somebody. This book is somebody. This is God manifested so we can read it, believe it, activate it, say it. Now he has something to perform. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews chapter 3. If you stir up that promise from the Word, you keep stirring up the gift of God that's within you. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You have the mind of Christ and all these different things. You get that stirring on the inside of you and you just keep saying that and you just keep stirring that and stirring that and stirring that, and you're very, very careful to keep the law and the commandment of love to keep anything from contaminating that, and you just keep stirring that. I'll tell you, one of these days it'll hit you. And when it does, you'll take off like you had your coattail on fire. Why? It will spill out of your spirit over into your carnal thinking and into your carnal mind, your soul, your will, and your emotions and so forth. And once it gets over to your mind, it'll act the same way over that it would if there's some other fellow that said it. Even more so because you already understand that that guy might have been blowing a lot of smoke at you too. Or he could lose everything he has, and if he did, you go broke right along with him. But this fella here not going to lose, and he's not going broke, and he's not tied to this earthly economy. Glory to God. Yeah. And you get in meetings like this and you hear it day in and day out. That's the reason we have meetings like and other church people in the world can't understand how we stand and go to church all day long. But if you get in here and you get yourself totally immersed in the Word of God and you start filling up on the inside, you get full on the inside, you get to where you don't want to do anything else. You get addicted to it. You have to have it. It's food. It's food. Amen. What happens? Faith happens. See? Faith connects to the spirit of faith. Fear connects to the spirit of fear. Amen. Now, Hebrews 3, are you there? Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You notice Christ there? The anointed Jesus. He is anointed as the apostle. He is anointed as the high priest. That's what he's anointed to do, is to perform the word. Now, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which was to be spoken after. But the anointed one, let's put it like this, but the one anointed as a son over his own house, whose house we are.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. If, say if, we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hold fast to the hope until it comes to pass. Now, he's laid something in front of us. He's put the subject of hope here in front of us. There is faith, there is hope, there is love. Now, we already know ahead of time what he's going to say. He's going to say faith is the substance of things hoped for. Brother Jerry had talked about hope. Bible hope. Hope built by the Word. See, this in this Word, we can see what's going on beyond that timeline, beyond that light line. We can begin to see over into the glory. We can begin to see what Adam lost. We get our eyesight back, praise God. Not only just in the natural spectrum, not only in the color spectrum. My God, man, we get heaven and earth. Man, I tell you sometimes, I got so in the glory over there this morning as Gloria was ministering, and she began to minister healing. She began to minister the miraculous glory of God, and the power of the anointing of the prophetess began to flow out her mouth. I began to see it. I began to see things. I began to see those parts she was talking about. And man, alive, the word of the Lord came to me. And I didn't let go of it. I kept it all afternoon long. And this afternoon, Tracy, you're going to like this. This afternoon, the Lord said, you know that shout? Mm-hmm. I said, which one? He said, the shout and the dead in Christ will come up first. I said, yeah. He said, you know what's in that shout? I said, what? He said, inside that shout is the glorified DNA of every human being that was established in heaven before the foundation of the world. And every cell, that DNA will hear my voice. And he said, every cell. See, he said, I can say all that at one time. I don't have to say that one at a time. And he said, every cell, every DNA structure of every human being that belongs to me, dead or alive, will hear my voice. And he said, they will come up out of that ground, glory to God. And he said, it'll come up glorified, and all those parts are there. They're already there. They're already in heaven. They're in the glory. That glory is not a million miles out there. Praise God, it's on the inside of you right now. And I began to see it. I began to see. I could see this outline, this transparent lines kind of looking thing. I could see teeth where there were no teeth. I could see kidneys where there wasn't a kidney. The other ones may be there, but one of them gone. But I could see there's a kidney actually there. All it has to do is be transferred from the glory to flesh. And it's... the Word becomes flesh.
Word made flesh.
We are so close to the rapture of the church. We're walking. We're in the neighborhood now. When this all happens for you and me, it's going to be just one more step. We're walking in it now. Amen. I remember something Brother Hagin said. His sister passed on, went on to heaven. And she died too young. He had done his utmost to change that. And it just, and he was thoroughly disappointed about it, but he didn't blame God for it. He just finally realized he wasn't going to be able to change it, but it did disturb him. And they went to her memorial service, and he and Sister Hagin, and they'd, you know, all day long with the family and this whole thing. And that evening they got to bed, and he said, you just don't want to sleep. It all that's just going on in your mind and everything. And said he lay down there on the bed, and he was just laying there, just quietly praying in the spirit in other tongues. And a few moments later, Miss Aretha came to bed. She said, Kenneth, I hear music. He said, well, you know, I thought I heard music. And they listened. You suppose TV's on? No, it don't sound like television. And they got quiet. And she leaned over there. She said, Kenneth, that's coming out of you. He said, when she said that, my next thought, he said, I was standing in heaven. And he said, my sister was standing there, and the Lord Jesus was standing there next to her. And when Kenneth walked up there, and she stepped out, and the Lord smiled and pointed to her. She said, now, Kenneth, don't worry about the fact that you couldn't change that. She said, it's not your fault. But you couldn't. And there was reasons why. So just don't let it upset you. Amen. And then they talked about some other things. Talked about some family things. And she told him, she said, oh, I've seen so-and-so. And she's doing really well. Doing fine. And she talked on about it, said, and one of them, one of their family members that had gone to heaven, the either the husband or the wife, whichever way it was, had remarried. And she said, she asked about so-and-so, which was her husband, but said, you know, she don't know that he's remarried. And she said, Kenneth, people up here know the things that are going on the earth. They know the spiritual things that are happening. They know the moving of the Holy Ghost. They know all these things. But she said, they don't pay no attention to none of that natural stuff. They don't pay attention to any of that. Now, the reason I brought that up to you, the Lord brought it up to me this afternoon, and he said, I want you to tell people that story. Well, now, the reason he wanted me to tell you that, don't you remember Jesus said the kingdom of God is near you, even on the inside of you? Amen. We're not way over here and it's way over there. You're born again. Amen. Everything God has is on the inside of you, including himself. Amen. His word is in there if you put it in there. It doesn't have to go way off somewhere and take week after week after week to somehow or another incubate into being manifested in this earth. The only thing that causes things like that is violation of the commandment of love, which introduces fear into your system, because perfected love casteth out fear. If you violate that commandment, fear will run in there. Now, fear is not just there when you're frightened or scared. No, I am totally convinced that Satan would give anything if fear didn't have the fright factor to it. Because what he is after is the cares of this world. Offense. Becoming offended and have no root in himself. What root? Being rooted and grounded in love. And so, Satan's able to steal the word out of him. Fear has to be present for you to become offended at anything. Yeah. You have to get over into that self-protecting mode. Get your feelings hurt. When there's no fear, you don't care. It doesn't have any effect on you. You don't care. Well, you don't understand what that old fool said about me. Well, that is his problem until you joined in it with him. Amen. I always love to tell this, one of my good friends who is in heaven now. But he, they invited him to have a meeting in a church down in Alabama. And so the meeting was to start the next day, which was on a Monday. And so he got in there the night before, which was Sunday night, and checked into the church and ready to have the meeting, you know, the next day. And that's when they found out he was black. They didn't know it. And so couple of the deacons, you know, kind of sighed it up to him, you know, and they said, man, this ain't going to work. We're awfully sorry, but this is not going to work. Well, so he just excused himself and went out. Never was a sweeter man ever walked the face of the earth. And he, absolute outstanding singer of the gospel. Oh, my. He walked out the front and he said it was just tearing him apart. And he finally just stopped that in front of that church and he began to weep. And he said the Lord came to him. And he said, Lord, they won't let me in there. And the Lord said, Willie, they won't let me in there either. He said, I got tickled. And he said, I got to laughing. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And he said, oh, Lord, forgive them, dear Lord. I ain't no way I'm going to be able to hold that against anybody. And he said, every time he'd think about it, he'd hear the Lord, he'd go laughing again, you know. And so later on, he said, he just got rid of it totally. Just forgave him and just walked off. And every time he thought about it, he'd get tickled and laugh over it, you know. Well, it wasn't very long at all. He got a letter of apology from them, and they said, how can you find in your heart to forgive us? If you can, would you please come and hold the meeting that we were such fools that we wouldn't let you preach? He said, well, maybe they're going to let Jesus in there too. So Willie went, and they had the greatest meeting they had ever had in that church, and they did let Jesus in there too. But if Willie had taken offense to that, it would have stopped the word in him. That's what's important. It doesn't have anything to do with them. That's their problem. It would have stopped the word from working in him. And could have destroyed his life and ministry. But if you'll stay in the Word. Now, notice here, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, remember what we read. I watch over my word to perform it. Jesus is the high priest over this house to perform the word in the house. We are the house. Now, flow right on down here. Let's go into this fourth chapter. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. What is the gospel?
Yeah, it's good news about what?
Huh?
The kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. All that's so. But give me some scripture. Yeah. That's gospel. Huh? Acts 10, that's gospel. The Word says, God preached the gospel to Abraham saying, I will bless you. This is the gospel. Now listen. Very carefully. You'll probably have to get the CD or something of this and go over this over and over and over again, or take really good notes, or just remember what I'm saying. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's the gospel. Well, I thought salvation was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought healing was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought prosperity was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. How far back does that blessing go? First thing he ever said to a human. Huh? Are we getting somewhere now? Are you listening to me? Now you know what Jesus is called to do. Watch over that blessing and perform it. If you will build and develop faith in the Word, faith in the blessing, there is more power in the Word of the blessing than any human being could live up in 2 lifetimes and 4 eternities. It was the blessing that raised him from the dead. I'll finish it up with this right here. Was there, now remember, that blessing has still got the same job on it, create the Garden of Eden wherever it goes. That's its job. That's what it does. It ain't ever changed. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth with this garden. Fill it up. That's all it's ever been called to do. That's the reason he'll send you someplace that looked like the worst place in town, because he intends for you to go there and turn the thing into a Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Exactly. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, was there any death in that garden?
No.
Then salvation is part of the blessing. Was there any sickness?
No.
Then the healing ministry is part of the blessing. The first job of the blessing in the high priestly and lordship ministry of Jesus is to remove that curse. Get it out. If there's sickness here, get it out of here. If there's poverty, get it out of here. If there's doubt and unbelief, get it out of here. If there's fear, get it out of here. He has redeemed us from fear. Glory to God. When you got born again, you did not receive the Spirit again to fear. Hallelujah. No, you are more than conquerors through Him that loved you. Can you see it? When you develop this faith in the Word and faith in His integrity in this covenant book, Hallelujah. And you begin to draw from what's out in the glory. You begin to draw substance to what was hoped for. You begin to see a picture that you didn't see before. And like Jerry Savelle, it is a God-ordained, word-ordained dream. That's what hope is. It is a dream without substance. But if you will just keep feeding the word to it and feeding the word to it and feeding the word to it, that dream will start taking upon itself faith. And when it begins to draw faith out of your spirit, and it begins to draw, then substance starts coming in there, and the glory of God begins to manifest. You can't see it, but it starts coming out of you. It starts coming out of you. It start, and it'll start manifesting around you, but it's coming out of you first. It starts on the inside of you as a seed when you got born again. But it'll come out through your flesh. It'll start healing your flesh. Your flesh will be made whole by the Word of God. It begin to redevelop. Hallelujah. And things begin to work right. And your strength begins to be renewed. I started confessing the renewing of my strength in the 103rd Psalm, 1988. My mama, we took mama to hospital, and she was failing, just failing rapidly. And mother had a situation when she's a young girl in high school. She she was born 1911. She was not quite 16 years old when this happened. So that's way back there. And she had a appendix rupture on the basketball court. Rushed her to the hospital. Well, man, in, what would that be, 1926? 1926 in the hospital in Lubbock, Texas. You can put the whole town in this room, hospital and all. Dear Lord. People are not supposed to survive with a ruptured appendix. But she refused to die. She was a prayer back there then. They'd go down in the storm cellar and pray. She and my dad's sister and my mother's aunt, which she had an aunt the same age she was. And they'd go down in the storm cellar. I said, Aunt Barbara, how come they go down in that storm cellar? She said, Ken, we get to pray and we get to shouting, and the people thought we were crazy. She said, we didn't know why we shouted. We just three little old Baptist girls down there praying. Said, we prayed because we like to pray. But she said, we got to praying for stuff and got to praying for things, and said, we didn't know much about her, but my goodness, we get so happy and go to shouting. Well, she wouldn't die. And the doctor, when he opened her up back there in them days, man, they didn't have that little old bitty scar like that. I mean, they opened you up, brother, you know. And they cut her open and got in there, and he saw what had happened, and he just cleaned it out a little bit. But he just dumped her whole lower anatomy. He just dumped it all back in there. He didn't even sew her up. He just used funeral clips, cadaver clips, and just clipped her back. I guess she's going to die anyway. Well, my grandfather gave him some incentive to straighten that out. And my grandfather's full-blood Cherokee Indian, and he was an imposing figure to start with. Stood straight and tall, had hair black as a raven's wing. He walked in there, man of very few words. Walked in there and he said, she dies, you die. Turned around and walked out. Soda man went in there and sewed her up right quick, but she is already messed up. And you think about it, back there then, 1926, that country doctor like that, I doubt if he knew how to put that back in there, right? She's all messed up. And they told her later not to ever even attempt to have children. She'd surely die. There's no way she could carry a baby in that messed up mess. And that she couldn't live over 10 years anyway. And so every 10 years, they'd tell her she's not going to live 10 more years. Well, she had all of that face in her and all that kind of stuff. Well, she
You can get things more real on the inside of you than it seems like they are on the outside. You can possess things that are already in heaven that haven't even manifest yet. And it'll get more so real that when it does manifest, it's just kind of an old hat thing with you. You've already done your shouting maybe years ago. But it comes to pass and you just put it into service. There, things like that happen when that dream comes alive on the inside of you. It will eventually take upon itself faith. And as it does so, it will come into reality in this world, saith the Lord. And if you'll learn how to do these things and spend time with me, I'll train you and teach you, and you'll walk in places you never dreamed you would ever be. That's what the word of the Lord came to say. Praise God. Praise God forever. Praise God forever. Praise God forevermore.
Well, you better stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I will finish that, or a little bit of it. I'm not going to go any further into what I had to say there. It's too much in the spirit.
I was born. My mama did have a child.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. She liked to die. If it hadn't been for her prayer life, she would not have lived. And the second time she got pregnant, she had a miscarriage, and she came so close to dying that time that she and dad made the decision we was not ever going to go through that again. But she lived every 10 years under the cloud of somebody telling her she's going to die. But the Word of God kept her alive. The Word kept her alive. And she was going down rapidly. She called me on her 70th birthday, just screamed in the telephone so loud I'd pull it away my ear. I made it, bless God, I made it. I said, what'd you make, Mama? She said, I made 70, praise God. 10 years at a time. I was sitting there next to her bed about 3 o'clock in the morning, had my Bible laid open there on my lap. And the Lord said, she doesn't need healing. I said, well, she's sure going to fool me. They come in here and told me she ain't going to live over in the next 2-3 weeks. She don't need healing? He said, no. He said, did you notice? We took her in there on account of pneumonia. And she had angina, and she just started failing. Her heart started failing. Her body started failing. He said, did you notice how quick that pneumonia left when you laid hands on her the first day she's in this hospital? I said, oh, God, forgive me. I said, but I didn't pay attention to it. I got this other arrested my attention. So he said, you know, that problem they had with the IV when they put it in her hand, the way her hand all swelled up there. He said, you notice how quick that left when you laid hands on and prayed for it? I said, oh, Jesus, oh, God, help me. I repent for not praising you for it. It just went like that. He said, there's not any actual sickness or disease in her. I said, well, what's the matter with her then? He said her body parts are worn out. She wouldn't take care of herself. She thought she's going to die any day. And so she wouldn't sleep. She would pray all night long. She prayed for me all the time. Prayed for me for years and years and years. Stay up all night long and pray for me. Sleep an hour a night. You can't do that. You can't violate the God created your physical body to rest 52 days a year. Every seventh day, that body is supposed to rest. He got all over me about it. He said, you don't rest 52 days in 5 years, much less 1 year. Got all over me about that. I had to change that. He said, I asked my dad, does she ever sleep? He said, she don't ever wrinkle up the sheets, man. She prays all the time. Well, she got concerned and actually got afraid that she was going to die with some of her kinfolks unsaved. She prayed all of her kinfolks in, all of her, she prayed her sister, both her brothers, all their children, all their family, and the whole bunch, including the other distant kinfolks. She prayed all of my daddy's kinfolks that wasn't saved. She got the whole bunch. And when I got saved, I called her and told her that Gloria and I had been born again. And then we saw her about, about 6 weeks later. She said, Kenneth, I've had it's 3 months later. She said, Kenneth, I've had the driest 3 months spiritually I've ever had. I said, why, Mama? She said, you got saved and I ain't had anything to pray about. Well, I laughed. I did like you. Only said she was serious. She wasn't laughing. She said, but I made up my mind. I'm going to pray in all that football team of yours. Well, I'd been out of high school, a number of years. I was 25 when I got saved. But she started praying. All of them, and our football team, our high school football team, we've stayed together. We have reunions together. We see one another and talk to one another. And we've really stayed strong together. And one by one by one, they're still getting saved. I mean, she stayed after them and stayed after them. Well, I'm there in that hospital room, and the Lord said that to me. I said, Lord, what's the matter with it then? He said, you remember what my word says in the 103rd Psalm? Bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, you understand, now that he was talking to his soul, and he told his soul not to forget. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And one of those benefits was the renewing of your youth like an eagle. He said, her body parts are worn out because she mistreated them. Well, she didn't know any better. Later on, she did say, if I'd known I was going to live so long, I'd have taken better care of myself. He said, sure, her parts are worn out. And he said, she doesn't need healing. Her body should have been confessing that every day and receiving renewing. Well, now, and I will close with this, but here's the reason I brought all that up, was to get this over to you. The renewing of those body parts is right there on the inside of you. It's all in the glory, and the glory is in you, and it's in the Word. And if you'll get the Word and the glory, if you will spend time in this Word and build up your faith in the Word itself, your confidence in this Word, that's what that third and fourth chapter of Hebrews is talking about. He will perform the oath that he swore to your father Abraham. He will perform it. Jesus watches over his Word to perform it. The 119th Psalm says his Word is settled forever, both in heaven and in earth. It's already settled. It doesn't have to be argued over anymore. It is already settled. If you will build up your faith on this Word, meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it, and begin to confess it day after day after day after day. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I commit to it. From this day forward, I'll confess it every day. I confess it over all my partners every day. That's the reason I put it on that bottom of that parking letter all the time, 103rd Psalm. And I said, can I pray this over her now? He said, she should have been believing me for that every day, and the Word would be made flesh, and it would have corrected all of that down here, and all of that would have been all right. But he said, she didn't know that. She come out of that little country Baptist church out there. Dear Lord, they didn't know anything. They didn't just barely get saved. And then just inch into heaven. But that's all they knew. I said, well, may I pray that for her now? He said, well, all things are possible to him that believes. I said, I'm him that believes. I said, in the name of Jesus, I pray the renewing of my mother's body parts. In Jesus' name, she lived 9 more months.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Gloria, when we got married, we got a hold of one of Oral Roberts' books, our spiritual father. He said, don't let anybody steal your dreams. See, that's hope. And if it's Bible hope, if that dream comes from the promises and it builds up on the inside of you, it'll begin to take upon itself faith. Well, in that little book, we learned from him to make lists. And right at the top of Gloria's list, in fact, she found that list the other day among her stuff. Gloria keeps everything. She kept house magazines till we couldn't haul them no more. And so finally she took pictures out of the magazines and filed those. Amen. She found that list. Right up at the top of the list was the home for my family and finances for this ministry. Well, she kept those magazines, and they had pictures in there of stuff that she liked, you know, furniture that she liked. Finally, I told her, I said, Gloria, the magazines are too heavy, man. It's a big, take a trailer to haul them around. I said, won't you take the stuff out of them that you like and keep that? So she doing that. Well, she'd come home, we'd get home, and I'd go to the airport. She'd go in there and get those pictures out, man, and she's building this house. Glory to God, she's building a house. And because she loved it. And she told me one day, she said, Kenneth, this house just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I can't figure out any way to cut it down. I said, don't cut it down, girl. It's a dream. Dream on. Just let her get it big, whatever it wants to get. Dear God, don't cut out on a dream. She did that for 30 years. Got good at it. Got her some graph paper. She got to where she could draw floor plans and move furniture around in there and had all these little cutout furniture pieces. Oh, dear Lord, I mean this thing. But she came to me one day and she said, Kenneth, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm either going to have to build this house or I'm going to have to quit this. She said, we need to find out if it's God's will to build this or not. Because I got to do something. I said, okay. We pulled off and we prayed. Spent a whole week for the wisdom of God. And God met us and ministered to us. Gave me scripture. And he said, now, I want you to lay your hands on her and I want you to minister this scripture to her. I didn't know it was the same scripture she put on that list back there 30 years before. And I laid hands on her and ministered to that. Oh, but now here's what I heard her pray. I heard her say, Lord, if it's your will for us to build this house, we'll build it. If it's not, I will never bring it up again. I will never have a regret about it. I'm happy and I'll never fool with it again. Well, the Lord said, build a house. And I laid hands on her. He said, you minister that house to you. This is part of your prosperity. So I ministered the house to her. He said, when you build the house, talking to me, he said, you stay out of it. I said, well, okay. Why should I stay out of it? He said, I said, a wise woman builds her house. I never said nothing about no man. He said, that house. Now listen, here's when I learned something. He said that dream on the inside of her has begun taking upon itself faith, and it's about to be born. And that's the reason she began to get disturbed. That house is on the inside of her, see? It's in there. Well, I knew how she felt. I had a citation 10 on the inside of me trying to get out. Yonji Cho said one time, it got so big on the inside of him, he's believing God for a bicycle. Well, a bicycle was a big thing in Korea back there right after World War II. As big as that citation 10. He said, I got pregnant with that bicycle. And he said, I couldn't figure out any other way to say it. He said, I got a bicycle in me. And people are laughing. He said, I don't care, laugh if you want to, but I got a bicycle in me. They said, you pregnant? Yeah, I said, I'm pregnant with a bicycle and it's going to get born. He said, they quit laughing when I started riding my bicycle around. And I told them then, it is an American-made Schwinn. He said, that was the best bicycle in the world at that time. He said, it just was impossible for a little poor boy like me, raised in a junkyard, a trash heap, to have a Schwinn bicycle. That's impossible. But he said, it was inside me. That home was inside her. That airplane was on the inside me. I could see it. It got so real, it'll get so real that you don't actually want it anymore because it's yours. You have it. Our whole family was believing for a station wagon back there one time. We needed a larger car to carry our meeting stuff in. John, a little boy. And the whole family would confess it. Kelly would confess. She'd say, Daddy, we got our station wagon. I said, yeah, we do. We got our station wagon. Yeah, we do. It got surreal on inside me. I finally just quit saying much about it. It is mine. It was there. I could see it. We're driving down the road. John's sitting there next to me, little old bitty boy. I stopped at a signal light. He said, Daddy, we got our station wagon. I said, yeah, we do, John. He said, it's ours, right? I said, yeah, but he said, why don't we go get it? It got surreal to him. He could figure out how come you don't go get it. Well, I caught a hold of that. I said, Lord, that's real to him. It's real to me. How come we don't go get it? I didn't say any more about it. Within 2 days, there's a fellow calling me weeping. Brother Copeland, he said, I apologize to you. My God, he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I just had to repent before God today, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I said, what in the world for, Brother Caldwell? I mean, he's crying like he stole something or like he was, you know, terrible, just weeping. I said, what for? He said, the Lord told me to send you, and he told me an amount of money. And he said, I didn't do it, and I didn't do it, and then I didn't do it, and then I didn't do it. It was exactly the amount that we needed for that station wagon. See, it was there all the time, and a disobedient man. Well, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Amen. I wasn't standing guard. I should have had that demon so bound that he couldn't stop it under any circumstances. I learned later. Amen. Hallelujah. So I said, come on, John, we're going to go get that car. Oh, somebody ought to shout amen. I'm telling you right now. Your ministry's on the inside of you. Get in there where your dream operates. Get in there where your faith is. But you'll never, ever be able to do it until you develop faith in the integrity of the written word of the living God. And mix that with your faith. And mix it and mix it and mix it and confess it and mix 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 it. It shall surely come to pass. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Oh, Kakisha Bahama. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. Praise Him. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Praise. Oh. Have you ever been present when the doctor came in and said, we're going to have to induce labor on her. It's time for that baby to be born. We're going to give her a shot of something or other. Going to induce labor. Praise will induce the labor. It'll speed up the birth time. Not just when you're excited about it. You can praise yourself excited. Now here, I'm going to demonstrate something to you now. I'm going to show you. And don't you ever forget this, longest day you live. I want you to say firmly and strongly, we're going to say it all together. We're going to say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Are you ready? On three. One, two, 3. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All right, now, check out what's going on in there right now. Just make mental note of it. The Bible said David praised God with every fiber of his being. He got to praising God and shouting so loud that he shouted all of his clothes off and ran out into the street stark naked, shouting and praising God. Well, nobody but his wife said anything about it because he was king and afraid of him. But she said, that's the most vulgar thing I have ever seen. He screamed at the top of his voice. He said, woman, you ain't seen nothing yet. I am going to get more vulgar still. Praising God. Now, this time, on the count of 3, we're going to say exactly the same words, only this time with every fiber of your being. Amen? Will you do it? Now, don't stand there and lie to me. Will you do it? All right, now you have to. I'm telling you, every fiber of your being, I mean everything you got. Now, I don't mean you got to jerk all your clothes off, but it's just short of that, okay? I was thinking somebody started, but no. I'll tell you what, with this bunch here, you got to make it clear. Y'all are praising this bunch I ever run across. But you're going to learn something right now. On the count of 3, 1, 2, 3. Greater is he! I was preaching in Shreveport, Louisiana. This was after Jerry had gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, called to preach. And I was back in that church that Carolyn was raised in. You heard Jerry tell about all that. Well, this was the, second or third time that I had been invited back to that church. And I was in a morning service there, and we were talking about on the subject of faith. And the nursery attendant come running in the room with Jerry and Carolyn's little baby, little Terry. Came running in there. That woman was just screaming. She was just beside herself. And the baby, just a little nursery baby. And the nursery lady was in the chair, had another baby, rocking the baby, and she didn't know that little Terry had crawled up there underneath her rocker, and she rocked back on her fingers and cut the ends of her two middle fingers and cut them plumb off. And the bones were sticking out the end, and the end of the fingers were gone. And she come running in there, and of course, little Terry just bleeding all over the place. And so I said, bring her to me. Bring her up here to me. And they brought her up, and I took her. And I started walking around the platform confessing the word, and then I'd stop and pray in the Spirit, and then I'd confess the word of God, and stop and pray in the Spirit, and confess the word, and stop and pray in the Spirit. And I mean, in 30 seconds, she was sound asleep, just out of it. God really put her to sleep. Now, I had seen this happen with my children, and I was expecting that. So while she's asleep, I handed her to Jerry and Carolyn, and they took her, and I mean, she like this, man. That baby was knocked out. And they, of course, rushed her to the hospital. Well, they did whatever they was going to do to her fingers, and they told them, they said, now, she will never have any fingernails because all of that's gone and pulled off of the bone. And this surgeon went in there and did what he had to do to fix all of that. And he said, now, I want you to understand now, she's not ever going to have any fingernails and so forth. And Jerry said, yeah, she will. No, he said, she won't. He said, yeah, she will. He said,
Now, Mr. Savelle, you don't understand what's happening. He said, no, sir, you don't understand my God. Now, he said, I respect you and I respect your opinion. I appreciate you, but I just want you to know she will. Well, he just kind of shook his head and they left. Now, listen to what happened. Jerry said when he left the hospital, something came on him when he got in the car. And he was driving between the hospital and home. And he said, I began to scream at the top of my lungs with every fiber of my being. I began to scream the word of God, and I screamed the name of Jesus, and I screamed the healing scriptures. And he said, I'm telling you, I didn't quit. He said, I did it all the way home. I did it after I got home. I walked the floor. He said, I literally screamed the word of praise and the word of faith until I screamed out everything that was in me, and that note of victory came. Now listen. Well, the given time went by, you know, the whole weeks of when they're going to unwrap these fingers. Took them back over there. The doctor said, now I want to remind you again now, this may look not just right to you, but said, you know, those little fingers are just little stumps, but I think they'll be all right. No, Jerry said, no, both fingernails and everything will be on there. Well, the guy unwrapped the fingers, and the doctor said, oh, my God, look at this. Jerry said, no, it wasn't your God. It is my God. You didn't even believe it. And that girl today is chief executive officer of Jerry Savelle Ministries in Fort Worth, Texas. And I'll have you to know, she has 10 fingers and 10 fingernails. Oh, yeah. And she is still to this day very, very touchy about those two middle fingers. And they do get extra care. But I learned from Jerry Savelle right then, and I looked at scripture up about David. I learned right then that kind of praise is the key to the bang, brother. That's the big gun. That's when you push things across the threshold. Amen. Did you learn anything? Give the Lord praise out for it. Hallelujah.